Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Nathan, how you doing?
I am good. I'm good. I released some tabletop RPG stuff this week. I've spent the majority of my day cavorting around in central Manchester because it is both Manchester Pride Weekend and Pokemon Go Fest. So I got to.
So is that Manchester Pride Weekend? Is that like gay pride for Manchester?
Yeah.
Is it like regular civic pride?
No, gay pride for Manchester. Most of the cities tend to hold them on their own individual kind of weekends. It's not like a national established weekend.
First of all, I do appreciate having like the national thing for gay pride, but I do like the idea that you could kind of tour around.
You super can. And if you're the kind of parading type, you could do, I would say, maybe 3 or 4 different UK pride parades within 4 weeks.
Wow. Dang. Wow.
That's a lot of walking.
And
I would walk 500 miles. Yeah.
They're all kind of different sizes as well. I once did a gig in Swansea. It's in Wales, for those who don't know.
Thank you.
And while kind of like, it was an outdoors job, so we're kind of like posted up outside a McDonald's of all places, being like, hey, come to this event. And they were slowly putting together Swansea Pride, and it was so tiny. It was really cute. Like, all 4 leather daddies showed up. It was just...
you got Greg showed up. Nice.
No, it was,
he never comes out.
And we're back. Mm-hmm. We know what's going on now through our various investigations, our experience with powerful luminaries and their magic. The question is, what you do?
So the green heart just talked to me as if pretending like it was the queen.
Yep.
It's a pleasure to see you again, my liege. Being in your home is always an experience, that one that I would not trade. It seems we've all been here before, have we not?
The creature looks at you, and like, you can see a hollowness within it, as though it hasn't been prepared for what is happening right now. There's like just this slight pause, and it goes, I am always pleased to host returning guests.
Great. I hope that this is just a unfortunately short visit, as we have business to attend to, but no less amicable than the last time, right?
Of course. I was just speaking to my son.
That's me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was going quite well, I think. And I'm sure we're both very happy that you are here too, Mr. Gable.
Yes. And my business in these woods, though I know not how I arrived. I assume that is your business, and I will not pry, but we do have items to attend to, so if your business has concluded with your son, we'll be on our way peacefully.
Of course, son, before you take your leave, allow mother to give you a gift.
Oh, you really shouldn't have.
But I must.
And the formation approaches you. Seeing them walk is just as horrible as seeing them pose holding still. They move fluidly together as though they possess one body. You can see, of course, that these were once individuals. And that's not the case. They move towards you, and it reaches out to you to grab your hand or Oromar's hand. What do you do?
I guess I'll grab it.
Cool.
Gable's so mad. No.
It grabs, and the fingers like at first gently wrap around you, and then very quickly it is not gentle anymore.
God.
You have the ability to opt out of this.
Why would you
I like a gift.
I like presents.
I want a present.
Yeah, this is going to be a rough one for you. So,
I don't have an axe.
No one has an axe. No one was prepared to be in woods.
I'm going to turn into a one of those sawfish, and then you can...
All right, so now we got to pull up... Oromar's character sheet.
I think this was probably the moment where we could have decided not to be in combat, and you decided that we're in combat.
I just wanted a little prezi.
I just wanted a little gift.
So Oromar has 14 wounds. You've taken that down to 13.
Okay, that's fine.
Oromar injured you, right? Yeah, I think your body is hurt, but Oromar's is so far unhurt, so what you're doing now isn't even all that discourteous.
Sorry.
Shaking with somebody else's hand.
So I'm going to say base 5, got 5 there. Oromar's got 4, so you're only taking 6 damage here.
That's fine. It ain't my body.
The fingers dig into the arm, and you can feel them start to root in the body. Like the individual finger ends grow into roots that invade you. But lucky for you, you don't feel the pain. You have the ability to opt out of that. You can feel that, like, the nerves in Oromar's body are trying to send the brain and, in some ways, the soul that signal. But you, being in your little, like, Megazord control of this body, just have the ability to ignore that flashing red light, which is a blessing for you. Let's have everybody... roll Jeez. For initiative. Jeez.
How do you Oops. Even do that?
How do you even?
So, you are gonna roll off of your cool on this one.
Cool.
Yeah, because cool. this was a conversation Uh-oh. That is like transitioning into a fight.
I'm probably out of berserk right from the last time.
Yeah.
Oh, that means that I needed to have taken strain. Gosh, I don't know those rules.
I can look that up in 2 shakes of the lamb's tail. I just got to...
Because it's the difference between me having strain and having no strain, basically.
Yeah. 2 yellow for you, Johnny. And...
One success and one advantage.
All right. So the advantage will manifest as... The advantage manifests as you being able to create something within the environment that would be advantageous to you during this combat.
I have an idea for what the advantage could be.
Go for it.
So you said that one of these people is that, like, woodsman fella
mm-hmm.
who I assume would have an axe as a man.
Sure.
But I think that in the process, sort of maybe the axe kind of became part of his arm. So it's like a woody, the woody handle of the arm of the axe kind of grew into his arm. So we would have to cut off his arm in order to use the axe.
That's very funny, because that means that he has had the thing that could release mm-hmm. him this whole time.
Yeah, and well, he just can't use it because he's a man puppet now.
Of course he did. What you say? That it's all for the best, because it is.
Six strain, bud.
Oh, so that goes into wounds. So I have.
Oh wow! Have you burned through all your strain?
Yes, sir. And then I'm at 7 wounds. So this combat could get intriguing.
Dicey. All right, I'm going to pull up. I was originally going to maybe change the health of these green hearts. I was like, wow, I set it really low. And then I feel like I remembered, oh, yeah, that's because everybody's cooked a little bit. Everybody's just seared and juicy right now.
This is a bad. It'll be fine. This will be fine. My soak is 4. This will be fine.
Mm-mm-mm. I'm feeling good.
Dear sister, by the time you read this. What you say?
Now, isn't that the most ridiculous thing you what you say?
So we got 2 PC slots to start.
Yeah. They did bad, didn't they?
They didn't do wonderful.
I think Johnny should go first.
Fair enough.
All right. So you are being held right now. You have the condition immobilized, which means you cannot take movement actions okay. freely because, hey, one of your arms is, you know, put down roots, so to speak, or had roots put in it. You are soil. So that's what you're dealing with. What do you do?
I would like to... The captain has a sword, right?
Captain does have a sword.
I want to try and cut off this arm that's holding onto my arm.
Go for it.
Okay. Tell me what to roll.
All right, yeah.
My personal Genesis Emporium.
So the captain has a brawn of 4.
Okay.
So you, by the transitive property, have brawn of 4. Mm-hmm. You don't have... Okay, you've got melee light. So you have 1 yellow and 3 green
okay.
for this.
And the difficulty is 2, right? Because it's always, melee's always 2.
Johnny's learning. You do Ooh. Have a black die
okay.
because, again, your arm is being grown
Fair enough.
Inside of.
Okay. I will roll. And that is 4 advantages.
4 advantages. No successes?
No successes.
All right. Well, that means we turn to the luminaries to see what happens.
Oh, this is fun because we're here and we can see if you cheat.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Which you frequently do.
I have never fucking cheated with these things.
I just think
never
it's
once
just,
in my life.
It's all the Forest Queen in there.
This is a big old bag of dice. It's
too big.
I just hit the episode, like, we just hit an episode, like, the first time on the show that the Echo has been pulled for our show. It's been pulled in the Courier's Call show before.
Was I here when the Echo was pulled?
Yeah, you were. Like, well, everybody was like, we've never seen that one before. What the fuck is going on?
It's the Echo.
Is that an expansion pack?
That's one of the special ones that I won off Keith.
Oh.
So.
Oh. Who
That's you.
It's me. You. It's your role.
Sticky.
The Tide.
So, the Tide represents shifting fortunes. if things being good one day, things not being good the next. I think up till now, your fortunes have been pretty rotten. So this, I think, represents a shift in your favor.
I think I have an idea for what it could be.
Ooh.
So I think that I am not able to make a cut with my sword because I did not succeed. But I think in this process, I am able to feel, you know, like this thing is sort of rooting into my arm.
Mm-hmm.
I think I am able to feel sort of how and why it's happening. And maybe I can realize a way to kind of push back and try and push it out. So then instead of rolling for like attacking in the future, I'll roll to push the roots kind of the other way.
I think, well, you got 4 advantages on this, right?
Maybe. Yes.
Yeah. So that's a huge pile of advantages, and you're electing to fail this. So one of the things that we know about Orimar is he's been doing bone sword hand stuff.
Oh, so swords ready.
You are like trying, you're within, you know, the mansion, the crumbling mansion that Nathan mentions as Orimar's mindscape, looking for the strings that you pull on to draw the sword at your hip, and you grab a bunch of strings, you pull, and Orimar's hand shifts into this bone sword configuration, which I think allows you to pull yourself free of the roots. So you are no longer immobilized.
So I'm in my head, I think I'm trying to use like, so Travis is, say the left hand is grappled.
Uh-huh.
Travis is trying to draw the sword with the right hand, but pulls the wrong strings. So instead of like drawing the sword with the right hand, the bone sword just happens with the left hand and kind of like cuts free the rooting.
Yeah, you stumble backwards and like you can see like the horrible like configuration of flesh and misshapen bone that becomes this like lethal spike that is now Orimar's arm. And, you know, it's very striking to you the kind of relationship this person must have with their body. It's very disorienting.
You know how like Wolverine, before he gets the metal, he has like the bone claws?
Yes.
That, this is the like T-1000 version of that.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, God. What a horrible collection of pop culture concepts that hits just right, baby.
I love IP.
We love our body horror on this show. That's what you've got going for you. You stumble back. You've managed to escape a little bit, but only a little bit. Gable,
yeah,
we've got another PC slot.
Okay.
And you also can do something about the environment that might be advantageous to you because you did get an advantage as well.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you one thing I can't do. I cannot go berserk again because even if I only get one wound, it will kill me once I drop out of it.
Now, a thing that I will point out about the Genesis rules that we have not done a lot,
yeah,
because we don't pay attention to them a lot, is advantages that you roll mm-hmm. in combat can add back to your strength.
Mama likey, yes. How much would that?
It's 1-for-1.
Okay, so give myself 1 strength.
Yeah. So
I still don't think it would make enough of a difference for me to not.
It would be a tremendous risk. You would need to do some sort of healy nonsense. And by that, I don't mean little wheels from your shoes, but healing yourself in some way. That's probably going to be necessary somehow after this fight. I'm very much looking forward to whatever that looks like. But, you know, that's assuming there is an after this fight because you could just die here.
I'd rather just preserve my wounds and just try and be successful and get good.
We're all just trying to be successful.
So I used that advantage for a strain point. So I'm not going to change anything about the environment. Positioning wise, I see the creature grab onto Travis. Mm-hmm. I see Travis stab it with bones.
Doesn't really stab it. He just sort of like unexpectedly, like you feel like his body is trying to do something, move in a way, and then it just shifts into a bone sword and he kind of like surprisingly stumbles back.
Okay. Because I know metagaming that we've got a couple NPC slots happening, I think trying to disengage as much as possible is the best move for me.
Ooh.
I'm going to try and grab Travis in a grapple and pull him out and away.
Okay, that's cool. That would be a move action, I think.
Yeah. So would that be brawl, do you think?
I don't think you have to roll to do that. That's a move action.
Just give me the guy.
So you can just get the guy. What you intend to do with it may provoke a roll.
Sure. So I've still got like a hand on fire, mm-hmm. as I recall. It's probably my right hand. And so on the other hand, I grab Travis by the scruff of his coat mm-hmm. and yank him out.
Mm-hmm.
So he's out of the Greenheart's grasp.
Yes.
At this point.
Yes.
Fantastic. And then I think I'm just going to start more fires. Mm. I think starting a forest fire is the best move.
Yep. You heard it here, folks.
I think that the American landscape could use
there is
more California fires is what mm-hmm. I'm saying.
We can see kind of off in the distance, the edge of the glade, there is this buff bear wearing jeans, just looking. I mean, when you put animals in clothes, like there's something slutty about it.
We also have those pictures of Soup.
Yeah. And he's just there. He flips you off real quick.
The only way to fight a controlled
only
bird.
Only you are such a piece of shit.
Do it.
Go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself,
Hey. You go fuck yourself.
Hey, go fuck yourself.
You go fuck yourself.
What the fuck is your hat? Was it? Are your ears sticking through your hat?
I'm a ranger. I'm supposed to be a ranger.
Are your ears covered by the hat?
No.
How can you hear?
I can't hear.
I can't hear you.
Fuck you. Go fuck yourself.
How is this happening?
I knew to say fuck you.
Go fuck you. I think I'm going to do lightning again. That seal's already broken.
Hell yeah. Do it.
More big lightnings. So I grab Travis and say, how does grounding work?
Who's to say?
How does electricity work?
What is your concern?
Like, if your feet are on the ground, will you get electrocuted?
We have to jump right when it... It's like a falling elevator, you know, we have to jump right when it hits.
You just gotta toss Travis in the air when it happens.
Well,
I think as long as we're shorter than the trees.
It'll hit the trees first. It'll be fine.
And we're both wearing rubber shoes. Well, we need to get inside a car.
Important and essential. This is an open part of the forest. An open glade with vines crisscrossing.
Does anyone have a Faraday cage?
We all got a Faraday cage. All right, I'm going to use Divine then.
Called? It is a Faraday cage. Okay. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, well, I have one. That was my advantage. I have a Faraday cage.
Get in the Faraday cage.
Oh,
quickly.
And you said we would never use the Faraday cage. And look
at
us now.
I was wrong. I'll admit. You were right to buy it with the limited gold I gave you in character creation. Hey, you heard it here first. When the Skyjacks role-playing game is released, Faraday cage will be one of the pieces of equipment that you can buy.
That everyone has.
Not that everyone has. It'll be like a spy. In D&D, there is an object called the spyglass. It costs 1,000 gold. And all it says is that objects that you see through the spyglass appear twice as large.
Funny.
There's nothing fucking mechanical about it. It's the most expensive thing you can buy. It does nothing. It doesn't even like, oh, this gives you advantage on perception check. It's just objects appear twice as large. So there's no rules backing it up.
That's so good.
Upsetting. And if you'll allow me, I'm going to add a blue for quick strike.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Perfect. I'm not going to do duelist because we're not
hitting someone. Hey, man, you're casting a spell. This costs strain, so whatever you do is going to be just fine
one,
by
just
me.
Just one, right?
I believe two.
That's better. Be good.
Hey, and if it has advantages, you can maybe get strain back. So.
Yeah. This is fine. Oh, my God. That's one success and six advantages.
That's cool. Let's see if it holds. It absolutely does not hold.
What does that mean?
Because you didn't roll difficulty dice, Liz.
That's true.
I rolled three failures, so you get two failures, but six advantages still.
Two failures, six advantages.
So
I still take the strain.
Yeah.
So that means there's no lightning.
So the lightning, I think we can also rule that the lightning happens, but it's not doing what you intend.
Okay.
You can recover, like, if you wanted to recover 6 strain, you absolutely could. And Gable just gets, like, a little charge up, Dragon Ball Z style, from this lightning.
That could be very funny. I can't think of, like, what 6 advantages would work for us.
The only thing I could think is, instead of lighting the trees on fire, you accidentally, like, hit one of the green hearts.
Yeah, that would be a damage doing thing. Like, again, I think the intent that I saw for the spell is like for this to be a forest fire of some kind.
Yeah.
So that can't be the result of this.
No.
Now, I could see like Gable, you know, there's something extremely metal about Gable, mm-hmm. like, you know, saint style holding this ball of fire on their hand up to the sky and then a bolt of lightning shooting down. Like, the only thing that I can really see is like it powering you up in some kind of way.
I like how the way it shakes out is like Gable throws up an arm to start doing like, better hold on tight. This is going to get gnarly really quick. And then they just get shot with lightning themselves.
And I feel like I get like a static shock. Just like, ah! Doesn't have to hurt me, but just like, oh, fuck.
Well, we talk about Faraday cage, and kind of what I like
that
is
we all have.
Gable's wings are there. Like, when the lightning shoots down, you can see the few feathers that are on Gable's back that have been reattached to their form, they are suddenly there in the air around you. And more than that, the lightning coursing into their being, you can see the faintly ghostly suggestion of what their wings would be in full. There is just like, for an instant, Gable's true angelic form is there. There is a powerful connection to the divine and the universe that Gable shares as a part of it. But it is for a brief instant, and you are left only with a lingering taste of what that energy is. And so, yeah, I say you can recover 6 strain.
That's
biblically accurate Faraday cage.
Mm-hmm. That's your biblically accurate Faraday cage.
That was supposed to go better, but the good news is I feel great. Let's keep going.
It did look cool.
Thanks. We're in grave danger.
Hey Heroes, it's James, your Game Master, and welcome to the Midroll. Heroes, this year a big priority for me is growing our community of listeners here on Skyjax. And we would love your help in doing that. An easy way that you can help us is heading over to Spotify and giving us a 5-star rating. Same goes for Apple Podcasts or any other podcasting service you use. Ratings generally help us find a higher spot in the old algorithm. Also, if you know someone who might like the show, tell them about it. I appreciate the help and look forward to more of you in the new year. I want to remind everyone that I have a new RPG accessory coming out in 2023, the Ultimate RPG Campfire Cards. It's a tool designed to help forge and strengthen character relationships for role-playing games in a way that's easy and fun. And I really want it to be a huge success. So if you head over to bit.ly/ultimatecampfire or bit.ly/campfireRPG and pre-order a copy, and then send a screenshot of that receipt over to contests@oneshotpodcast.com, you'll be entered to win an opportunity to tell me what I should write the next Skyjax short story about. So if you're burning for lore and want to learn more about the world, take this opportunity to make me do what you tell me. Once again, that is bit.ly/ultimatecampfire or bit.ly/campfireRPG. Then email those receipts over to contests@oneshotpodcast.com. I'll be choosing a winner once we hit 100 pre-orders. Before we get back to the show, a huge thank you to everyone who supports us on Patreon. Without you, this show would not be possible. And I love doing this show, so I am incredibly grateful to everyone who supports us. If you'd like to join their ranks, head over to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and sign up to be a supporter. In return, you get access to bonus content, other rewards, and the knowledge that you helped make this show. Now then, a quick word from our sponsors. And with all that out of the way, let's get back in the sky!
Look, check this out. And he holds up his bone arm.
Ooh. Gable, hold out a finger to the bone arm. Does it zip?
Oh, I think it's you. It's like, oh.
Ooh. Ooh. Ooh, this is, it's so true. Oh. Just doing that.
Travis pulls one of Gable's hairs and slices it in half with the bone arm.
Ooh. You know,
like, that's Ginsu.
Ooh.
That's Ginsu sharp.
Give me a shoe.
Oh, my good shoes.
And it still cuts a tomato.
Wow. Look at my hair. It's all sticking up.
Isn't science fun?
I love science.
The green hearts that are around you in...
We're doing science. Leave us alone.
See, if I got this pot of water right here, if I put my hands in it, nothing will happen. I don't think that's a real experiment. If I get a pot of water.
What were you trying?
I don't know. I was just thinking of science experiments you can do at home when you're like 5, and then you just...
In Liz's defense, they usually do involve water.
If you put your hand in water and then go to sleep, you wet the bed. Yeah. That's fun.
That's the ultimate science. Prank science.
Anyway, the green hearts that were contorting their bodies to create the furniture and decorations that would be there for the Queen's Glade, like, drop their facade. Like, they turn limp for a second and then very quickly stand up. Also, importantly, each of these green hearts, for the duration of your conversation, has been rolling their eyes to the back of their head. Those eyes drop down, and suddenly they are not seeing the world through the vision of the pollen's deception anymore. They're seeing truly what is in front of them. Importantly, for the first time, they are seeing Travis and Orimar's body. There is some confusion, and then they see, you know, this lightning strike, and all they can tell is that there are two enemies in front of them, two invaders into the Queen's Forest, and they let out this guttural sound that is harmonized across all of them, and all of them screaming the same, and they begin to rush towards you. And I'm just going to roll their attacks. Three attacks real quick. That is...
Are these enemies friends of Gru? And by that I mean minions?
This is a special... What I've put together for you guys is a special boy. Again, I asked you last night, hey, what are you intending to do?
That was your first mistake.
And Liz very glibly said, well, if you're going to prepare something, then I'm not going to tell you what we're going to do. So I instead spent my time putting together a real special boy for everybody.
Okay.
A Gru.
Yeah. You're going to...
Rise of Gru.
Yeah. The Gru's... Rise of Gru. Can you believe he rose?
Won't stop.
So that's one success. One success, two advantages.
Thanks.
And that is a failure, but with one advantage. Okay. So I am currently deciding how I'm going to mete out the damage here.
Grew. Grew.
Grew.
Grew.
Grew.
Grew.
So... I think they're going to go after Travis first.
That tracks.
probably should do that.
So you have two instances of 6 damage coming at you. Now, good news for you, Johnny. Ormar Vale's soak is 4.
Great. So then I take 4 damage?
You take 4 damage, which will cut your wounds down from 8 to 4.
Okay, well, you don't love that, but...
So the green hearts leap towards you. Gable and you are like kind of in a moving retreat right now. And again, this is a springing waterfall of swipes and attacks. The other thing that is harrowing about this, again, these beings move. They are in the bodies of men, but they move like beasts. And right now, they are kind of moving like wolves. So you have two that are like lunging at you, swiping at you with like clawed fingers and hands. But as you move backwards in retreat, you can see that the others have circled around you. So I am using the advantages to surround you with these nasty green hearts, but the others are just like attacking you, and their hands are like, their skin has the quality of like wood and bark. Like they are swiping with just human hands, but like they're hitting a lot harder than human hands should hit. And wounds are being opened on Orimar, and we haven't decided the relationship between Orimar Vale and blood and how all that works, but like you can tell that his body is being damaged as you and Gable are like kind of moving together in this defensive retreat. But yeah, they just managed to surround you and land some like pretty considerable blows, but it moves around again to the PC slots. Mm-hmm. So that was three NPC turns in a row.
Okay. So you're at four wound.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can try that again. Can you try that lightning again?
I could. And I could because I have enough strain. It's like I sat in a charge port and now I can be good again.
Mm-hmm.
I could. That gives me enough to be able to take the strain to go berserk to guarantee a success. So I think I might do that.
Hey, okay. I love that risk.
Okay.
I absolutely love that risk, especially as it will also guarantee successes against you. Because that is the other side of Berserk.
It's fine. If this goes great, this combat will be over very quickly.
I absolutely love this. Liz, you don't know why yet, but yeah, hitting hard and heavy at the beginning of this fight is a good idea.
I have a decent... Is there a phase two?
I put together a special boy because I was given unclear instructions.
He's a mini boss. He's got two phases, perhaps three. Okay.
You just wait until Sephiroth shows up. Fucking throw down a Genova fragment.
Or Divine Will.
Is Sephiroth also in Kingdom Hearts?
I bet, right?
I don't know. I have not played Kingdom Hearts. I know our friend Cloud Strife is, so I have to imagine that, like, if Sephiroth's there, you're going to use him, right?
Can you only play Kingdom Hearts if you're connected to the internet on the Switch?
I believe it is a digital air or cloud.
Because I need something to do on the plane. And I was like, maybe now's when
there's
do
Wi-Fi Kingdom on the plane.
Hearts. I'm not going to pay for Wi-Fi to play Kingdom Hearts.
All right. So I'm going to use...
Is there no download for it at all?
Apparently not, because they're too
I don't
big.
Think the Switch can handle
Switch,
it. Well, so it has to... Cloud.
Bummer, dog.
Cloud stream it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cloud strife it. Mm. And I'm out because it's my first attack. I have not taken any damage, and it's my first attack against a PC. I'm going to do the same spell, but aim it at the green
Hornet.
Oh, or the green Hornet. Hopefully that continues to make more fire.
Investigative reporter Britt Reed and his, what did they call it? Chauffeur Kato.
I listened to those all the time when I was a kid. I just watched the Seth Rogen movie over and over again.
Yes, did you enjoy the Seth Rogen movie?
I've never seen it.
I've never been madder. I try not to get mad about like they're doing it wrong nerd shit, but like, oh boy, did that make me mad.
I want him to be a superhero, though. I think he'd be fun. There's a lot of fan casting about making him the Thing in Fantastic Four.
Have we all seen...
I think that'd be very fun.
I don't know. I kind of feel like... I know he's better, but I still can't get it out of my head that he sucks.
Seth Rogen?
He seems like a
he's
good dude.
I know that
Canadian?
He is better
you
now.
You love that? You love Canadians.
I do love Canadians.
And he makes these fun little weed bongs.
Oh, he's into pottery now?
He loves to make them.
Did you read his memoir? Is so fucking good.
No, I didn't know he had a memoir.
We listened to the audiobook that he reads, but a lot of the stories are about like his celebrity friends. So he gets them to read the parts.
That's
it's
fun.
So
That's
fucking
fun.
Good. That's, anyway,
That's delightful.
We're working.
I love a well-produced audiobook.
I love books. Guys, do you love books?
It's a trip to... You do want to put the difficulty dice in there this time, Liz. So that is going to be two purple.
And I got the blue. All right, an automatic success. So this is going to be...
Why are you... If it's an automatic success, why are you rolling?
To see how many more successes.
Yeah, and also failures can be rolled.
And
if you roll a failure with the automatic success, what happens?
It's like you get a free star. You get a free one of these.
Oh.
Yeah. Just adds to your dice pool.
So it's not really an automatic success. Well, it's an automatic success.
Success result. Oh my God. Another failure. No, it's not.
So we got
on the cusp.
All right. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, so is it...
Oh, it is 4. You did manage to get yourself a success.
So is the success a win condition, or is it just the extra?
It's star? The extra thing.
Okay. So there's 3, 4. So there is a success.
Is it just a one? One success, one advantage. Okay.
Jesus Christ almighty.
That was spooky. That's
so much
scary.
Work to yeah. succeed.
I have to decide how much damage with the base level damage of this lightning spell is. Mm-hmm. It carries with it the danger of exposing you to the eyes of heaven, which I think like that is kind of a meaty sort of like narrative hook for it. Mm-hmm. So I am going to put it at base level 7 damage.
Okay.
So you've got 8 damage coming out. I will now do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7, 8. All right, Liz, I have wonderful news.
Okay. For you or me?
For you. So, like, you and Travis are moving back, and, like, you've been moved into a circle of these, like, things that are now, like, poking around you and very much, like, doing that scary thing that wolves do where they surround their prey, where most of them are kind of, like, circling and stalking, and there are one or two that are driving you into a position where you're vulnerable to the others. You... like very quickly whirl around seeing like the tree line and your sight of possible escape, and again like move your hand with this fire floating around it to strike lightning again from the sky, from the cloudless sky. Bolts of lightning course down and you fry 2 of these things. They are consumed again. This lightning, I don't know if we said that there were colors for this lightning, but I love the gold and silver fire that we've got for you. So yeah, it's gold and silver lightning, baby. It strikes down, and you can see crackles of gold and silver around as they like consume some of these green hearts and burn them out from the inside, and they just fall.
Did I have one advantage?
You do have one advantage.
I'm thinking...
you could reduce the cost of the spell from 2 strain to 1 strain.
Oh, shit. I'd like to do that. Yes, please. Travis, we got to get out of here.
Well, you've got another PC slot.
Oh, no.
And let's cut over to the captain. You are fighting. Your spirit, Travis's body, moving together towards space, towards progress, moving until you know what to do.
There is a talent that Orimar has.
Mm-hmm.
I will read it once again for those who are unfamiliar. Where there's a dramatic entrance. Once per session, your character may entreat a luminary to use this talent to enter a scene or encounter they're not currently participating in at an opportune time. However, I am currently not in my body, but if there is some way that we can, you know, make this...
Yeah, so then we'll make this the opposite. Mm. We are, with Jonnet instead, running through the forest. You said entreat a luminary.
Mm.
And this is... really, really interesting.
What's the card there?
the rake.
Oh, with the pain, bloodshed is going to occur.
The bad man.
Greed, appetite, cruelty, and resentment. I am going to pick on greed and appetite here. Orimar, you are in a desperate situation. You are fighting what is in your perception, the cutting stone. You are doing better than you were a second ago. That has given you enough clarity of mind to try and think of a plan. And I think there is one thing that you have with you now that you did not have with you previously. And that is the Sovereign's Crown. I think it is a spiritual object and a physical object. So I think if the captain were in his own body, he would pull it from his pocket. But it does still exist with his spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also kind of in Travis's pocket as well. But I think you have the idea to use it. And I want, I'd like you to describe, like, what does that decision look like? How does that go down?
I think there is a, despite the two forms of like a ghostly Travis and ghostly Orimar fighting using the same body, there is a slash that goes awry. One of the cutting stone like ghosts goes for Orimar's leg and he ends up on the ground. And we see from like a perspective shot looking up all of these ghostly forms around to kind of like plunge inwards. And there is like a feeling, a warmth, almost a piercing in Orimar's chest. And there's a moment of like, oh my god, it's this heart attack. No. I have the crown. I'll have to. And I think there's this light we see glowing from the kind of like breast pocket of Orimar. And then it shines brightly and then fades away. And then out of Orimar's face, like his eyes blaze with this kind of like silvery burning light, which is enough to kind of make the ghost kind of like step back in apprehension.
Yeah. And like, as they do that, like the world and universe pulses and Jonnet feels absolutely wild. You feel the lines of possibility in the universe all around you, the ways different things can play out. And then in front of you, you feel the most complicated knot of strings that make up reality that could possibly be. It's got a little bit of that like gravitational lensing effect. There's just so much potential and possibility in front of you. It's unmistakable. You know, whatever is happening over there has to do with somebody who you know.
Yeah.
You burst through the trees. As this is happening, as like Orimar, you can feel more of yourself like merging with the crown and like it's pulling on you and twisting you. And spiritually, this feels painful as though it is going to like spill you and rend you and whatnot.
Orimar has a sense of pain now, considering there is a, and I think as a result, then Orimar starts screaming in pain again, and instead of sound, light just comes out of Orimar's mouth.
Oh god, yeah. It sounds like a choir. As that is happening, Jonnet bursts through, and Jonnet, you can see surrounding Orimar are
which is Travis, right?
Which is Travis, okay. Surrounding right. Travis, yeah. Surrounding Travis, there are green hearts that have their arms sharpened to like spear points. And they are kind of reeling back from a space where the world is warped, where the metaphysical and the physical are like crashing to be in the same place at the same time. Jonnet, what do you do?
So is Travis completely surrounded? Are there people in front? of him, behind him, everywhere?
Yes, I would say so.
Everywhere? On his knees, kind of clutching at his own breast, screaming with no sound.
No, they have like stepped back, especially at the point where you can like kind of see that.
I think like his immediate response is like, all right, we got to clear the room, clear the field. And so with both ends of the Katsarigama like in hand, he's going to like swipe out in like a V shape. And I think that there's going to be like an earthly ripple that like shoots out in a similar way. And really it's just like, we're just going to, as best we can, knock. It won't be perfect, but like in this V shape, anything that's on that V pattern like gets knocked back just so we can like just clear a little bit of, again, space.
Rad. Take two strain and roll it up.
Hang on. Strain wise, well, we're not in a particularly.
I'm going to call this average too. This feels like very in line with things that John is familiar with and has done before.
Yeah, fuck.
Too hot.
Ah, shit. All right. So that is one failure, one advantage.
Okay. I'm going to say you try to shake the ground. And the thing that you realize, well, actually, I'm going to say you don't realize what's exactly going on, why it doesn't work, why this didn't toss them aside the way that it should. But the thing that your advantage will provide, it's enough of a rattling that Orimar, spiritually, you put down the crown. You are not engaging with it anymore. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to eat you up.
So I think...
Yes. does this give me a bit of an opening to kind of burst forth from this crowd of monsters?
I would say so,
You hear from amid the mass, "I will never be caged!" As there is like a large slash.
Now that Nathan has pointed it out, I do hear how you've done it in a lighter register. That's going to be such a pleasure to listen to.
"I will never be caged," as there is a kind of like gap formed in the group of like trees, the green hearts, as the dagger that Travis has on his person, that Orimar has in this space kind of imagined to be a sword, has been used to kind of cleave a way out of, and lunges forward towards Jonet with a kind of like tip of blade to throat.
Yeah.
Just immediately perceiving you to be a threat, and there is a blink, a second blink. Oh.
Hi.
Jonet Kessler. What a pleasure to... And the stone falls out of Travis's mouth. Like, the crown of the sovereign, which is like a stone-like object, right? Or is it more of a...
Oh.
Because I always imagined it to be, like, some kind of, like, glowing rock or shard, rather than a literal crown. But maybe that's me misinterpreting.
No, I mean, so the crown... is physical and not physical at the same time. Like, more than anything else, like, I think if it has a physical form, that physical form is like kind of like gravitational lensing. You know, in the same way that like light is both a particle and a wave, if you try to hold it, it becomes more physical, and that's what it is. If you're not trying to hold it, it exists as a spiritual object.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Got it. So in the kind of like, oh, Jonet Kessler, how... And we kind of see the lensing effect kind of like push its way back out of Orimar's back rather than the mouth. Like, you'd expect him to kind of spit up something, but instead emerging from, I guess, Travis's back is a weird bending of the light that then eases and dissipates.
Whoa! Travis, what is this?
Travis looks around. I was in the middle of doing something. We need to leave, John Kessler.
Yeah, and then I think at that, like, John, it leans, like, we smash cut to, like, the back of Travis, and then we see John it lean out, throw, like, the weight end of the Kasari Gama to, like, doink one of these guys in the head. It's like, yeah! Yeah. I agree! Do you know? And then so, like, left or right?
A glance to the tea, a glance to the, like, the bushes and the trees. You're the one with the eyes on it, Kessler, but let's say left.
And so John, it takes off, I guess, to his right. And we go. Away we go.
Mm-hmm.
And as these friends, now reunited, prepare to face the forest together, we call our end of episode. Scotty Jacks. We return once again to the long line of applicants in front of the skyship Uhuru.
My name is Track Reagans. I'm a paranormal investigator, and I believe your ship to be haunted. I've never seen a ship in the air before.
So I'm looking at the book here. Could you, first of all, can you read the title for me?
Yeah, sure. This is my third book. It's called Spirits Come Inside Me.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. And just... It's an ebook that is real, that people can read.
It is
read
a real ebook that I wrote a while ago at this point.
And just overall, like, the sense that I'm getting from this is that there are various types of communities, mm-hmm. and it seems that you are a nomad through you trying to find at any given point in human history kind of the worst thing. Right? Do you think that can be that's accurate? Because you were a close-up magician, correct?
I did briefly study mind freakonomics and became an accomplished magician. But my true calling has always been the paranormal.
Well, yeah, I guess my follow-up there is, what do you think's next at this current moment? What do you think's next?
Getting a scoop!
Well, lately we have been doing deep investigations into cryptocurrency. It is an offshoot of cryptozoology, which I think is very closely related to the paranormal. So we are trying to determine whether or not this currency does exist.
If you find a dollar coin in the woods.
So is that mostly taking blurry photos and shaky cam videos of cryptocurrencies?
Yeah, so we've found some evidence of some company scrip in the woods. We found some Confederate money.
Owned by Mothman. So.
Yeah.
Listen, good on ya. Someone's got to do that investigative research on the things that others might find cringe, objectionable, dangerous, upsetting, sad, any of the above. And I think that you're such a great person to be on the front lines of all of those efforts.
Have you considered what you may be writing next for your next book? Because, you know, your first book, Ghosts Come Inside Me.
Spirits Come Inside Me.
There we go. Thank you.
That's the third book.
Yeah. I was going to say, is there something like searching for top demons or something like that?
Well, you know, my first book or my third book was Spirits Come Inside Me. Then there was Spirits Still Come Inside Me. And
was that
the third
four or two?
That was the fourth one. Then my fifth book.
But it was released second. So.
And this was the Spirits trilogy. So the third one is Spirits Won't Stop Coming Inside Me.
Which was released first.
It feels like you probably need some protection from spirits, or maybe the spirits need to wear protection. I'm not sure at this
point.
Some
sort of barrier?
Yes, the barrier of protection that I choose. My dear friend Ron Reagans has a line of ectoprophylactics and holy oils that he does craft for the team.
I think I know Ron. Like, Ron's accidentally gotten has a lot of children via ghosts, as I recall.
Yes, Ron does have two.
But they're all adopted.
Adopted ghost children, yes.
Yes. Ron's a great guy.
I'm very confused.
And we also use spirit vapor or vape smoke from my friend Clay Goodman, who does have his own line of vape products.
Haunted vape products. Mm-hmm. Actually, that sounds kind of fire, to be honest.
I think he holds the record for the lowest selling vape juice.
Yes, that is okay. Correct.
All right. Yeah.
There was a pack of 100 that was returned.
Have this haunted vape juice, when you blow out the smoke, do you also go boo? As you do say.
I think the smoke itself goes boo. It has nothing to do if you say boo or not.
That's awesome. Can he join the ship? That sounds great.
Yeah, I would love to. I would love to get Clay and Ron out here. They can show you their holy oils and their vape products.
I do have a question, because I also did follow the link, and so really, I'm just the cover art.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Your trench coat. You have a glorious trench coat.
Thank you.
And it seems to be blowing in the wind, but on. It's not even like a discerning further inspection. You can see hands flapping the trench coat out in the. Are you?
Well, John, that is obviously the spirit.
Those are spirit hands. That's definitive proof of spirit hands.
Okay.
We were not able to get proof of spirit arms, shoulders, torsos, anything else, but we did get definitive proof of spirit hands.
Okay, all right. And so now that you have that proof, again, what will you do with that?
Well, I've made a book.
Okay, all right. And I just want to ask the page count of the chapters.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to just really fall. Chapter 8 is, you know what? I'm not gonna doubt anybody because it's hard to write anything. But chapter 8 is about a third of a page.
Yeah. Well, I will stress to you two things. First of all, this is an ebook. They are different than physical books.
Fair.
Second,
sure.
This is a real book that I wrote about 6 years ago as a promotion for a show. So this wasn't even part of the show.
No.
It was
the consumption rate of the book is probably exactly 5 people.
Yes, it is 5 people right now. Yeah. and 3 of the people here right now had seen this before. So
in borrowing Gable's electronic book to be able to look up the name of the book, I have instead been told that somebody's asking, how do I know if the Holy Spirit is inside me, which sounds a relatively similar or maybe a combined issue.
The Holy Spirit is interesting because it's sort of what I like to think of as the absolute value of a demon. So it is hard to tell whether you do have a demon, a demonic attachment, or the power of the Holy Spirit with you.
You look mildly concerned, Gable.
I think I'm just recalling, like, Track, aren't you Episcopalian or something?
I think I'm probably Catholic, if I had to guess.
Who's to say, honestly? Who's to say?
But it again has been a very long time since I have written this, and my travels have been so extensive. Let me actually do you a favor and pull up some photos from my last sort of foray into the world of the paranormal.
If this is just a screenshot from Phasmophobia, I'm going to cry.
And you know, unfortunately, this is I was only able to take this journey with my friend Clay. Ron did get stopped at the airport and detained. All of the audio equipment and film equipment, they thought that it was nefarious. But yeah, here's a photo of my most recent investigation, which was quite a few years ago. But unfortunately,
and that's the for real.
This is real. This is real in the real catacombs in France. Yeah,
in France.
Mm-hmm.
And you brought those clothes too there.
Yes. Yeah, we did. We did. Okay. That's the. What do you mean? We brought those clothes. Those are the clothes that we wear.
How did that get through customs? I feel like I would, if I was a customs agent and I saw those clothes coming into my, I would stop you somehow.
Well, you will notice that I am wearing airport camouflage. So those blended right in. It looked like I wasn't wearing a shirt at all.
Ah,
and,
yes.
Clay's
going through TSA.
Clay's shirt has a skull on it. So they knew that we were going to the catacombs to investigate. So they said this seems to check out. Red, white,
and blue flag that I don't seem to recognize, but feel somehow incredibly intimidated to look at.
Yeah, it's the French flag.
Right. Yeah.
But with stars,
oh, yeah,
because,
red, white,
those,
and blue, French.
Because it's okay. The city of lights.
Airport camouflage really got me. I don't know.
Well, I feel like we shouldn't associate with you. It's kind of where I'm at.
I agree. That's why you should all leave the ship for 24 hours while we do a full lockdown investigation.
We're not going to do that. Have you, real quick, one last question. How many ship investigations have you successfully conducted? Who has let you kick them off of their ship for a full day?
Mm-hmm. Well, we did investigate a stand-up paddleboard once. And we have also investigated, well, technically it wasn't a raft, it was an inflatable mattress, but it was being used in the water.
By ghosts?
No, that was found out to be just a mattress.
Right.
It was debunked, mm-hmm. I see.
Oh, gosh. Well, this has been a long conversation.
Yes, sometimes when I have these sorts of conversations, I'm afraid that it is a little too inside baseball, but there's really no way to know.
What's baseball?
Clearly some ghost sport. Yeah. Well, thank you, Trent.
It's actually a vampire sport.
There we go.
That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Campaign Skyjacks is a One-Shot Network production. For more information, be sure to follow us on Twitter over @CampaignPod for updates about live shows and other events we might be doing. You can find more great gaming shows over at OneShotPodcast.com. Jonnet Kessler was played by Tyler Davis, who can be found on Twitter and Instagram at Tyler A. Dave. You can stream his short film, Lining, on the Roku channel for free. Just search for The Shortlist, Summer. Gable was played by Liz Anderson, who can be found on Twitter at @LizAnderson__, or on her podcast, Paired. Travis Madigo was played by Johnny O'Mara, who can be found on Twitter at @JohnnyNBriefs, or on his podcasts, Bill Buds and Dilettante Ball. Captain Oromar Vale was played by Nathan Blades, who can be found on Twitter at @PhantomArtsENT. You can also find them streaming on twitch.tv/TheNeonCaster. I am James D'Amato, your host and game master. You can find me on Twitter @OneShotRPG or on my other podcast, One Shot. The original music featured in this podcast was written, composed, and performed by Arnie Parrott. You can find him on Twitter over at @ArniePArrott. You can find more of his work at atptunes.com. This episode was edited by Casey Tony, who can be found on Twitter @CaseyPony, or on his podcast, NeoScum. Our logo was designed by Fiona Shea, who can be found on Twitter @FionaPup. The World of Sphere was inspired in part by the music of the Decemberists, and Illimat, produced by Together Studios. This show uses a modified version of the Genesis role-playing system, designed by Sam Stewart and a team of talented professionals who were fired by the private equity firm owning Fantasy Flight Games. And once for our friends ne'er to rise, twice to the dearest we're leaving behind, who know we can never deny the call of the skies.